Pasig lamid, pasig lamid ki yevazi chaber lechem utaras hamikol chata sechlo fnei Hashem b'taru. On this day, yichaber lechem, Hashem will forgive you l'taras hem to purify you. Okay, Hashem will forgive you l'chaper to purify you. Mikol chata sech mikol chata sechem lefnei Hashem b'taru. So what does Rashi say? Pasig lamid, there is no Rashi with the targum tzarei. On this day, Hashem will forgive you. Lidako means purify us. By mikol choy veichon, all of your sins. Kodam Hashem, before Hashem tidkun, you'll be purified. Okay, so what are the chidushim here? Over here, choy veichon, v'chein tagim l'kamon. I'm reading you from the Sefer. Okay, no chidushim here. Not that we're going to discuss. Pasuk lamed aleph. Shabbat Shabbosim Hilochem V'inisem Es Nafsho Sechem. It's the day of Shabbat. Shabbat Yom Kippur is the Shabbos of Shabbos. V'inisem Es Nafsho Sechem. You shall afflict yourself. Chukas Olam. This is an everlasting law. What does Rashi say? What does the Targum say? Shabbat Shabboso Hilochem Use Anoin Yos Nafsho Sechem. You shall afflict your neshama. It's kiyom. This is a choik that is olam forever. Okay, over here that's a targum. Now, what are the chidushim? Okay, so over here in the sefer it says Shabbat Shabbosot targum Shabbosot kolosh namikra. Avol kamon tekim Shabbosot niyocha. Okay, no chidushim. Pasuk lamed beis. V'chiber akoyin asher yimshach esoy v'asher yimale yes yodoy. L'charein tachas aviv v'lovash es b'dei habod b'dei ha-kodesh. Okay, so here it says that the Kohen, who you have anointed, and is yemalei es yodoi. What does that mean? L'charein tachas aviv. It means the Kohen that takes the place of his father. V'lovash, and he shall wear the b'dei habod, the linen, b'dei ha-kodesh. Rashi. Lamed beis v'chibra koyin asher yimshach kapora zushal yom kippurim eino kishere ela b'koyin gadol. This pasuk is teaching us, according to Rashi, that the avoda of Yom Kippur can only be done by the Kohen Gadol. No one is permitted to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and to sprinkle the blood of the Ketores to do the service. The only one that can do the service on Yom Kippur is none other than the Kohen Gadol himself. Lefi shenemro kol haparsha bi'aroin. Pasuk is teaching you a very interesting idea, is that the entire parsha was said specifically to Aaron HaKohen. So maybe one would think that the avoda is only done by Aaron. When Aaron dies, that's it. There's no more. There's nothing more than no one else can do the avoda. After Aaron HaKohen dies, there's no longer a din of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur and all of the Karbonites, especially the Karbonites, is only done during the lifetime of Aaron HaKohen. When he dies, that's it, it's over. And the reason why you may think that to be true is because Aaron, part of the Yom Kippur service, is a kapara for the Chet HaEgel. And Aaron was the one who actually made the Egel. So after Aaron dies, Aaron got his kapara, and no one else needs to do the Avodah. So this pasuk is coming to teach you that after Aaron HaKohen dies, it goes to the one that takes over. And then the next words are, V'asher yimali yes yodo, ein li ela ha-mosh, ha-moshuach b'shem na-mishcha, meruba b'god d'minayin, ta-moloy ma v'asher yimali yes yodo. So Rashi v'im ha-kohanim ha-gedoilim sh'omdu b'yoshiyahu v'eilich sh'v'yemov nignizot tzalich shel shemen ha-mishcha. Teaching you a very important principle, and that is that there are two types of Kohanim Gedolim. There are Kohanim Gedolim that were anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, and there are Kohanim Gedolim that did not have Shemen HaMishcha, and the way they would distinguish in being Kohanim Gedolim is because they wore the Shmoyna Begodim, the eight garments, the eight special garments of the Kohen Gadol. So maybe the only one that can go into the Kodesh HaKadosh Yom Kippur and do the Avod is only, first it's Aaron, then it will Machadesh, his descendants, who take over his place, provided that they are anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. But at the time of Yoshio HaMelech, 22 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, they were goynes, the Shemin HaMishra, Bayis Rishon, they were goynes, the Shemin HaMishra, and now, from then on in, the remainder of the Bayis Rishon, and the entire 420 years of the Bayis Sheni, there was no Shemin HaMishra, so you cannot fulfill what it says in this pasuk of Asher Yimshach Lesoi, so maybe they don't do the Avodah, Kamash Mulan. If you don't have the Shemin HaMishra, you still have the status of a Kohen Gadol because you wear the eight garments. And that's what it means in the Pasuk, Asher Yemalei Es Yodoi. Yemalei Es Yodoi means you take their place by serving in the capacity of the Kohen Gadol, wearing the garments, even though you were not anointed with the Shemin HaMishra. That's how Rashi Pshat in the Pasuk. L'chahein tachas aviv l'lamed shebinoi memalei es mekoimoi. Who koydem l'chol odam? These words are teaching you that who goes first. When the Kohen Gadol dies, how does this work? Okay, how does this work? If you have a company in America and the CEO retires, who takes over the CEO? The board votes who should be the new CEO. They don't say, oh, I'm the son. I'm the long lost son of the CEO. I want to take the place. No such thing in America. What goes on in the Beis HaMikdash? When the Kohen Gadol dies, who takes over? If not for this pasuk, we would say that the Bezdin, the Lishkas HaGozes, they vote. They are candidates. They are candidates of democracy. And they say, who is the best person? We vote. It doesn't automatically go to a son. Along comes this pasuk and teaches you that if the son is eligible, he's roi, he's a Talmud Chacham, he knows what to do, he passes the threshold of being eligible, there's no vote, he becomes automatically the next Kohen Gadol. This is a major sugya, massive sugya in a shul, a rav. If a rav retires, or the rav dies, who takes over? Does the child of a rav have any advantage in halacha to be toveya? My father was the rabbi, my father passed away, my father retired, I have the right to be the next rabbi, I get the job, I get the salary, and that's your obligation. You don't, no promise, don't go look for new candidates. What is the halacha? So this is a very, very big question, and you can't generalize. In America, you know, in the young Israel, there's a contract, and there's a vote, and the rabbi doesn't own the shul, and the balabatim, they own the shul, the rabbi is an employee, but maybe not, who cares? Maybe the halacha is, once a community votes to take the first rabbi, automatically the halacha is, they have no choice, they have to take the rabbi's child, if he is roi lekach, no voting, or maybe no such thing. Maybe the way our shuls are structured have no connection, no relationship to the status of the Kohen Gadol in Klal Yisrael. So there is no answer to this question. There really is no answer. There are many opinions on this. Chasam Soif, there are many different opinions on this, on how this works in the modern world when it comes to Rabbanus, when it comes to Rosh Yeshiva, whether it's a private yeshiva, whether it's a public yeshiva. Obviously, if it's a private yeshiva, you do whatever you want. And you would think that if it's a public institution, and there's a board, and they vote, they can say to the child, get lost. We'll do whatever we want. We pay the bills here. It's our shul, our yeshiva. How does all this work? In Yeshiva University, when they want to get a new yeshiva, they automatically take the child to the next yeshiva? How does all this work? Nepotism. There was a tekufa when they were doing this. There was a lot of, not so long ago, a very ugly thing. People were nepotism, this, that, racist, I don't know. The truth, though, is it's not simple at all. It is not simple at all. It's a very big shoulder chazan. You have a shaliach tzibur in a shul. And then he dies, or he retires. Does the son have the power to take his place against the will of the Balabatim? I mean, the Balabatim don't like him, though. They just won't come to shul. They'll daven somewhere else. They won't give donations. They won't pay the bills anymore in the shul. You know, obviously, there's a very delicate balance And at the end of the day, there really is no clear answer what to do. There are many different variables, many different factors. One thing is for sure, you fight. That we all do. You fight, say Lashon Hara, curse out, use it as a wedge, that for sure. Practically speaking, what goes on, there's so much written about this, and there's so many stories, and there's so many different situations, you can't really generalize. But this pasuk teaches you, at least by the Kohen Gadol, that if the child is eligible to serve in the capacity of his father's position as the Kohen Gadol, that's what we learn from this pasuk of L'chahein Tachas Aviv. Okay, so we have over here a beautiful pasuk, and we learned over here three halachas. Number one is V'chibar HaKohen Asher Yimshach Oisai. That's teaching you a chiddush, that the Kohen Gadol does the avoda, not only Aaron. Don't make a mistake, I think only Aaron HaKohen. After Aaron dies, there has to be a replacement. And the replacement is anointed, and he takes on it. This avod is done for all generations. The next chiddush is, it says, Asher Yimali Yasiyodo, even if the replacement is not anointed with the Shemna Mishka, as was the case during the entire time of the Bayis Sheni, for 420 years, and even the last 22 years of the Bayis Rishon. And the last part of the pasuk that says, L'chahein Tachas Aviv, is a halacha, that if the son is eligible, he has the right to become the next Kohen Gadol, even if the people are not so happy with him. It's his birthright. You know, now, I didn't realize this. No, I don't know how the way it works. It's an amazing insight. I read this in Mishpacha magazine. I don't have time to read Mishpacha magazine. It's very hard to find time to read it. If you have time, so they had 2 weeks ago, no, last week they had a topic was Rav Yosef, I don't know, remember the name, of Avadia Yosef's son. I think he has a lot of children. Right now, Rav Yosef was, for many years, the Rishon Litzion. He was the Sephardic chief rabbi. The Sephardic chief rabbi in Eretz Yisrael is called, as a title, called the Rishon Litzion. The Ashkenazic chief rabbi is called the Rav HaRashi, the Rav HaRashi. They have different titles. And how it came about, I don't know. There's a whole history. Once upon a time, I knew the whole story behind the Sephardic, the Ashkenazic, but they're two chief rabbis. It's very interesting that both of the current chief rabbis are children of the previous chief rabbis. Mamish, the topic of this pasuk. The rabbi now is very good. They love him. He's very good. The rabbi, I forgot his name, Yosef, Ravadia's son. Ravadia, I think, is his oldest son, is currently the Sephardic chief rabbi, the Rav is the Rishon Litzion, and Rabbi Lau, the son, I don't know his first name, he is the son of the previous famous Rabbi Lau, Holocaust survivor. He is the son. So right now, both of the heads of the Rabbanim are children of the previous. You know, there's Now, there's a very interesting stories about this, is that it used to be that the Rav HaRashi and the Rishon Litzion, it was a lifetime position. They basically served for life. And then some nasty people, I think, I don't know, they voted, they don't want it to be for life. And they basically voted that's a term limits. They only can be for a limited time. And Rav Avi Yosef had a lot of Agmas Nefesh from this. He was in America, he used to go all over the world. And the government, I don't know, I think maybe it was the Supreme Court. I don't know, I don't even know the whole story. They voted that term limits. He can't be anymore the chief rabbi, too much. And he was very, very hurt. He was very, very upset. Very hurt. And right now, who's the chief rabbi? His son. His son's term limits is coming to an end. The son has been there maybe for 10 years already. He's been there for a long time. And so is Lau. Their time is up. So now the candidates are lining up who's going to be the next chief rabbi, the Rishon Letzion and the Rav Roshi. So who's the leading candidate to become the next Rishon Letzion? Rav Avadya's other son. He has another son, a third, another son. And it's very possible that he will be the next chief rabbi. So you know what that means? There will be three Yosefs. Rav Avadya, who was the Rishon Letzion for many years. And then his son was ready now for another 10 years. And now, hopefully, his next son is going to be the next chief rabbi. So the article there says, the Mishrach, look at this. They try to get rid of him. Not only did they not get rid of him, by imposing term limits, now his son became, and now his other son is going to become. So if he would have had a lifetime position, it may not have turned out that after he passed away, it would have gone to his son. But the way it worked out by Hashgacha Pratis is, he was the Rishon Letzion, and after they terminated his time, not that long later, a number of years later, went to his one son, and now possibly go to the next son. So in a way, what they tried to do him in, it boomeranged on them, and now there's going to be three, there's going to be even more of them. They dominate the field. Now Rav Avadya, he was very famous for giving people a fras. He would smack people as a way of chibah, of love. And the harder the fras, the more it meant that he liked you. It was a very funny thing. He would smack people, and people knew, like, that's the way, like he showed you chibah. I think he even did it to the prime ministers. I think he did even to Bibi. They said, where in the world you have such a thing where a prime minister goes to a rabbi and the rabbi gives you a frask? And they don't arrest you. Even the heads of state would come to him, and then I remember reading is that one, there was one time and he wasn't feeling well. He was sick. So when he had appointments with different people, people would come to see him. So they told the people, don't be insulted if he doesn't give you a frask. He's not feeling well today. That's how far it went. And then another funny story is that when his son was running to become the Rishon Letzion, and at the same time Rabbi Lau's son was running to become the Ashkenazi Rav HaRashi, and they both got in. It was very interesting that the Rabbi Lau's son became the Ashkenaz, and his son became the Rishon Letzion. So after they both became rabbanim, the chief rabbis, they went to visit Rav Avadya to get a bracha from him. Like, you go to the Kaisel, when you become the prime minister, you go to the Kaisel, when you become the chief rabbi, you go to Rav Avadya to get a bracha. So they went in, his son, of course, there. And then Rabbi Lau's son, which really was like a youngster, he probably had a black beard then, he went into him like, and then he says, oh, mazel tov. He says, kibini, like my son, you're a chief rabbi just like my son. Kibini, kibini, my son is the Sephardic chief rabbi, and you're the Ashkenazic chief rabbi. He's kibini, and he whacked him across the face. That's the story. Okay, so in any event, that's very, very relevant. See, over here, you have over here the son, this whole sugya of the son. That's a little bit this pasuk you learn over here, Aaron. Then it's not only in his lifetime, the next generation, for all generations, and even if you do not have the Big Day Kahuna, even without the Big Day Kahuna, you can still be, you still can be a Kohen Gadol, and you can go Lefnai v'Lefnim HaYom HaKippurim to do the Avodah. Now let us see Rashi, the Targum. There's always a rule. The rule is, the more Rashi, the more Targum will be interesting. When Rashi is silent, usually the Targum is boring. There's nothing to talk about. There's nothing unusual. Rashi seems to have been rallied. He gets riled up and writes comments when there's something that intrigues him in the Targum. So if you have a long Rashi, that's usually a siman that you're going to have something to talk about in the Targum. So let's see, what does the Targum say? Targum over here says, Pasuk, Lamed Beis, V'kapar Kohano D'Rabbe Yosei, the Kohen, which D'Rabbe Yosei, which means that you anointed, those words D'Rabbe Yosei, wait a minute, am I reading the right Pasuk over here? Pasuk Lamed Beis, V'kipar Kohen Asher Yimshach Oisev Asher Yimale Yos Yodoi, Lamed Beis, V'kapar Kohano, the Kohen will atone. Which Kohen? D'Rabbe Yosei, which he's translating down those words that you have anointed. Okay, we'll see in a moment. That you've anointed. V'dikorev Yos Korbone, who has offered the sacrifice. Doesn't say that in the Pasuk. Asher Yimale Yasiyodoi. We have to see what this means. Okay, that is offered the sacrifice. Lisha Moshe, who serves to Chois Avuhi in the place of his father. The Yilbash Yos Levushei Butso, he will wear the linen garments. Levushei Kudsha, the holy garments. All right, obviously there's something over here that is going on that needs to be discussed. So let's see what it's over here in the Perush. You don't have this. I'm going to read over here what it says. I see there's a lot of words over here. D'Rabbe Asher Yagdil. Wow. So right now we've actually discovered what this means. Okay, we've actually discovered over here the secret why Rashi was marked. See, this is just again over and over proof. Proof positive, Rashi 100 times. I say this, and it's just so obvious. And I'm always in shock how, when I tell this to people who are very big Talmidei Chacham, they look at me like I'm from Mars. And I tell them, Rashi did not write a Perush on Chumash. Rashi on Chumash is a commentary on Unkelus. A commentary is called a commentary. And then when you write a commentary on a commentary, that's called in English a super commentary. Rashi wrote a super commentary. Who is this? Who is he writing on? On Unkelus. And you see it here exactly. Unkelus says that V'chiper HaKohen Asher Yimshach Oisoi, that you will anoint him. Unkelus says the word Yimshach Oisoi does not mean anoint. It's not what it means. Yimshach means like to extend. It's not true, because Yimshach, that's with a chof, Moshach. I take that back, that's incorrect. That's with a chof, not a ches. But Yimshach, he's translating the word Yimshach, not anoint, but to raise. The Kohen, the Chibra Kohen, Asher, the one, Asher Yimshach, so that you will train, you will raise, you will groom, to do this job. A person just can't walk in and be, here I am, I'm the Kohen Gadol. You have to go to Kohen Gadol school, a special finishing school, in order to train Kohanim Gidolim. It does not mean anoint. We're not discussing here the Shemen HaMishcha. That's not the topic of this pasuk. It's not telling you the Kohen Gadol which you're going to know the Shem, because the truth is, we just said, we Rashi really pointed it out. You don't even need Shemen HaMishcha. Who says you need Shemen HaMishcha? Now, it's not discussing that over here, but over here the Targum says it means the Kohen Gadol that you will anoint. Unbelievable. Now we can appreciate why Rashi made that comment. Rashi is coming to comment on Unkelus. Unkelus, you are wrong. Who told you to translate the word Yimshach to mean to groom, to raise? It means to anoint, to pour the Shemen HaMishcha over his head. Rashi made that comment as a direct attack on Unkelus. And then when it says next words over here, Di Korev Yos Kurbone. Vyasho Yakriv es Karbono, Kol Loshon Milui Yodayim, Vinikubo Betargub Loshon Hakrovas Karbonais, Ay Mashokosav El Voloy Tergim Asho Yimale, Udi Iskorev Kitargum Asho Mile Yodom, the Iskarev Kimene Shirotzel Targim Alderich Shtargim Babaska Shayim Shach Paboyotze. So he's saying another incredible principle that Rashi comes to disagree on. The word Yimale Yodoy means to fill up your hand. This is an expression, according to the Targum, that means to offer a sacrifice. Now, why is this expression to fill up your hand? What does this have in common with a sacrifice? I'm assuming it's because your hands are filled with blood. When you do the zurika, you put the blood on the mizbeach, you have to get your hands, fill up your hands with blood. You have to touch the blood and either sprinkle it or you have to apply it. Okay, not every carbon is like that. Some you take the bucket and you spurt with the blood from the bucket directly. But it's an expression. Asher Yimale Yado means to offer the sacrifices. Rashi does not like that. Rashi does not agree with that. And that's why Rashi commented, Yimale Yado has nothing to do with the sacrifice. It means he is the Amale Mikoimai. He takes the place. He is a stand-in for the previous Kohen Gadol. Oh, we know that already. It said before, Asher Yim Shachlai, so which according to Rashi means he was anointed in his place. So Rashi says the repetition is coming to teach you that even if you do not have Shem and HaMishcha, and all you have on the big day are the extra garments, that's also a good fill-in, like it was in the time of the Bayis Sheni and after Yoshiyahu. Okay, then it says Le Shamosha, Kol Loshon Koyin, Meshamish Lelukusu. He's asking the question, why does the Targum say the word Lashamesh? Where did the word Lashamesh? Lechahein. So this is very beautiful. Lechahein, according to the Targum, means to serve. Lechahein does not mean to be a priest. A priest happens to serve. But the word Lechahein, means to be simply to be a Kohen. How do you become a Kohen? So we learned, there are different halachas. You only call the Kohen when you bring the Bidei Kahuna. In the Beis HaMikdash, you only have the status of a Kohen if you're wearing the Big Day Kahuna. If you're not wearing the Big Day Kahuna and you do the Avodah is possible because you're not called a Kohen. What do you mean? My father was a Kohen and his father was a Kohen and go all the way back to Aaron HaKohen. Who cares? You're not called a Kohen unless, number one, you're a Meyuchas, and number two, you're wearing the Big Day Kahuna. The Gemara makes this drasha. We have this many times in Chazal. It comes a little, so when it says lichahein, it means to be a Kohen. To be a Kohen in the capacity of the Kohen Gadol and all of the required halachas. Targum disagrees. Well, Targum isn't, Rashi's not really pointing this out, but Targum, the word lichahein in this pasuk means nothing more than to serve. It doesn't mean the halachic status of a Kohen with Yichus. That's Pashat. That's self-understood. That we don't need to explain. Here it means to serve. Here the next chiddush in this pasuk is to chois avuhi tzarchir. Shemek or doy me mashkos avidei kapto nachas aviyam. Okay, I'm reading on yours in this parish. V'yeshloi mashu shama obas lo tafsu mokam al ochatu v'le baru mali mokamam. Elo lachto yachareyem. V'yeshloi doy me. V'chin lo shach lemet to chois b'mokam avosan. Okay, so he's saying over here an interesting idea. He's saying that sometimes we find an expression, a child, becomes bosar, beis, sof, resh. And sometimes, like in this targum, it says, lisha mosha tichos, in the place. So the commentary over here, the Ba'atzar, is asking that there's a contradiction in the Targum. Elsewhere, where it says the word tachas, it means he translates the word tachas as bosar, afterwards. And here the Targum is translated, the word tachas is tachos. Now tachos means in his place. So you have a child, okay, the father dies, and now we have the next generation. Is the son coming after the father? Or is the son standing in the place of the father? That's the question. Is it a sequence, A, B, C, D, or it's only A? B steps into the shoes of A. When the father passes away, so the son, who is a B, he now is pushed up. He becomes the A. You now stand in the place of your father. Tachas avasecha yubon, as a post, like tachas avasecha yubonecha, in the place of the father. Or no, the father's gone, no one can replace him. The next generation is, it's bosar, what comes afterwards. So the question is, how come sometimes the Targum says the word bosar and sometimes it says the word tachay? So it gives a very beautiful answer. If you look carefully, you have to really test this. If you look carefully, whenever it says the word bosar, that means that the children and the father are doing averis. They're doing sins. The father's a rasha, and in the next generation, they're following in the evil ways of their parents and the grandparents, the great-grandparents, they're also doing sins. So then we say it's bosar, afterwards. There's generation A, generation B, generation C, generation D. They're all Bale Avera, and one generation becomes Bosar afterwards. But when all of the generations are doing mitzvahs and Mais and Toivim, then you say Techois. It's not Bosar, but Adarabba, you're stepping into the shoes of your father. So we hear them with the Kohen Gadol, who's a tzaddik, and he's doing the Avodah, and now the Kohen Gadol dies or retires, and the son takes his place. So therefore, since we're dealing here with tzaddikim, therefore it's appropriate to say the word techois, not the word bosar. Okay, so literally a lot of chidushim in this pasuk. Let's review the chidushim in this pasuk. We have the pasuk in the chibur hakoyin asher yimshach oisah v'asher yimale yasiyodoy lechahein tachas aviv v'lovash es bidei habon bidei hakoydesh. Although he says, he doesn't talk about that part over here, but the last part, but basically according to Rashi, Rashi took this pasuk and basically he was responding to the Targum. The Targum, we're talking first, what do we do outside the Targum? It says, what is over here? The Kohen, asher yimshach oisoy, it does not mean to anoint. The Kohen that you have raised, that you have trained, that you have groomed for this position, the law, and the asher yimale yasyodoy, and he's the one that will bring the sacrifices. Lechahein means to serve. Tachas is to chois in the place of his father, not after his father. The lavash, the leba b'dei kodesh. Rashi saw this translation and he says, Targum, you got everything wrong. Not everything, but you got a lot of stuff wrong here. When it says over here, it says the Hebrew according to yimshach oisai, yimshach means to anoint with oil. Meshicha yitzika, to pour on his head the shem l'mishcha. And the chiddush is, don't make a mistake and think that the only one that does the avodah was Aaron HaKohen, who made the egel, and this is an atonement. No, every generation you do the same thing. Whoever the Kohen Gadol is, the one that's been anointed, he does the avodah. And the next chiddush is, let's say there is no Shemen HaMishcha. That's the next, Asher Yimale Yasiyodai. Even if there's no Shemen HaMishcha, if he has the Bidikun, that's going to be sufficient. The word lechahein, Rashi does not translate, does not discuss. So maybe Rashi here agrees, it means to serve, or maybe the famous Chazal, that when you do what you're supposed to do, then you call the Kohen. And then it says, v'lovash lechahein tachas aviv, and Rashi doesn't comment. See, Rashi does comment. You see, that's very interesting. Rashi does comment. Rashi saw the word techois. Techois. It didn't say the word bosar, it said techois. And Rashi maybe learned from Rashi, maybe is agreeing with the Targum, and said the word techois is a halachic principle. That if the father was a Kohen Gadol, automatically the son has the right, the entitlement to be the next Kohen Gadol, even if not everyone in the community is so happy about that. If he's good enough, he may not be the best, but if he's good enough, it's his entitlement to become the next Kohen Gadol. Maybe that's a different word, tachas. Tachas means he takes the place of his father. And how that applies in modern times, that we discuss, is a big, big topic of discussion. All right, let's just see over here. And because we're going to finish up tomorrow, we'll do Sir tomorrow. Lamed Gimel. Okay, let's do what we do until the end of the paragraph. Very quickly, for the Chiper, as Nidash HaKodesh goes away, the Chiper, the Kohen Gadol, is going to atone as Mikdash HaKodesh for the Beis HaMikdash. What does that mean exactly? I'm not sure. V'yas Oel Moed, V'yas HaMizbech, Yichaper, V'yal HaKoyhanev, V'yal Kol Am HaKol, Yichaper, you'll bring atonement for everyone. V'hoi says, Zos Lechem Luchas Olam, Lechaper, Al Gunei Shol, Mikol Chata Yisam, for all their sins, Achas Pashara, once a year. V'yas Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe, and Aaron Derni Hashem Tol Moshe, Lugu Rashi, V'yas Kasher Tziva, Kishagia Yom HaKipunim, Osa Kasid Raze, Ula Yagit Shifra Shol Aaron, Shol Hoye, Loiv Shom, Lugu Losoi, Elik and Mekayim Gezeres Melech. This pasuk teaches you that when it came Yom Kippur, Aaron did the avodah. He wore the big day kahuna, the shemone begadim, not for his own glory, in order to do the Hashem's mitzvahs. And what does the targum here say quickly? These two pasuk over here, the targum says lamed gimel vikapar al mikdash al makdash kutsho v'al mashkan zinna v'al madbuchan v'mizbeach yichapar v'al kahanaya v'al kol ramo begal yichapar. Usahei do lechoy lekiyam olam lechapoda al bnei yisrael mikol choy vayhem chol bashata ve'avid kima once a year ve'avid kima defakei Hashem yos Moshe. And the sorry over here doesn't say anything over here. No, it doesn't say kamat. It doesn't even comment on anything over here. But one thing at least you take out of the pshusha mikra is that the avod of Yom Kippur is mechaper for the defilement of the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, sometimes it happens by accident that Kohanim are Tomei and they don't even know, they don't even realize that they're Tomei, and they go into the Mikdash and they do the Avoda. Or sometimes the Korbanos become Tomei and the Kohanim are not aware and they eat it. That's a terrible sin. It's a very grave sin of Tumas Mikdash V'Kodashav. When a Kohen defiles the sanctity of the Mikdash by coming into the Mikdash in a state of impurity without even realizing it, or where the Korbanos become Tameh and Kohanim who are Torah eat it. So part of the Avodah is an atonement for the defilement of the sanctity of the Mikdash, whether it's the Kodesh HaKodashim or the Heichal, the Mizbeach, and for all of the Kohanim, Tumas Mikdash Mikodashav, and for the entire Klal Yisrael, this is the Avodah. Okay, we're going to stop over here. Thank you for coming. Thank you very much. Yirtzeh Hashem. We're going to learn tomorrow. Mr. Kolodny, is that you? Is that Mr. Kolodny? tkolodny@gmail.com. Oh, he's on.
No, it's not, Amy.
How's he doing? Okay, please send me.
I'll send him your best for him.
Okay, please send him our best regards.
Okay, I shall. Have a good Shabbos.
Okay, good Shabbos.
I hear you. Have a great Shabbos.
Take care, as well. Good night. Good night. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming. Okay, take care. Good night. Good night. Have a laser. Good night. Thank you for coming. Mayor, did you go to Menachem Avil yet? Not yet. Go with me tomorrow.
Who passed away? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Want me to close the door?
Okay, Zaygu's looking. Good night. Blaze, good night. Take care. Take care. I'm going.
How are you?
Baruch Hashem, I'm very tired.
Yeah, I could say, let me ask you, who passed away?
Klein's.
Which
Mr. Klein, the guy who's come to Auschwitz. He lives down in Lakewood.
Oh! I was always thinking about him.
How you know?
He learned the Minkach when he was in Bach. He learned the Nachsidish Yeshiva. His wife used to run the young, the senior center.
Right.
I was pumped. I was thinking about him today that I haven't seen him. What's his first name?
His name is
Heshi. Heshi's a Geshmaka guy. I haven't seen him in ages. He moved to Lakewood?
Yeah, a long time ago.
I remember his wife. She was the coordinator. She did everything for many years, yeah.
So he's
retired. He used to do something. I forgot what. So he used to come to the shiur in person? Yeah, he used to come. When did he make the move?
A while ago. A long time ago.
And he's sitting shiur after?
After. Either his mother or father.
Punk today, I was thinking.
Wow, is that amazing?
No, I'm not amazing. I'm
sitting shiur on his brother.
I'm whatever, son.
Having odd.
So he's not here at Flatbush.
He is at Flatbush.
So you have the opportunity to go to play Shiva Park, right? Then he goes back.
Correct.
So he moves to Lakewood. His parents lived here.
Really?
So what's the shot if he's sitting Shiva by his brother?
He has a brother who lives here.
Yeah, but therefore, you want more people to come.
I don't want people.
Like this in New Jersey, who knows?
His father was
an older man, probably is an old man, his father. Because he's
no youngster.
He's no youngster. He must be, how old, 68, 69? More. He's a nice guy, by the way.
Yeah. His father has to be at least 80, 90.
More, probably 90s, yeah. Only simple. I bet you, I have a feeling, I know what you spoke about after. Did you speak about Israeli independence?
No,
actually. Yeah. Another reason, I wanted to go home, whatever, I felt shocked.
I didn't speak anything about
Are you serious? Why? Because usually you do for this crowd. Mayor Apdorf is a big guy. It's Zionist.
I don't.
You decided you're not going to talk about it just for that as well.
I view myself.
Understand.
Like his generation, like your parents. Your parents were not Zionists.
No.
But your parents had a certain kind of
benefit. My parents don't have Ashkenazis.
My parents.
My mother's Zionist.
My parents were Zionists. No way. My father's Zionist. No way. They would probably demonstrate against a lot of people born in Israel. They would probably be against my grandparents' children. Yes.
That's not going to conflict with being anti-Zionist by...
That's exactly
the point. How do you call it?
That's exactly the point.
How do you...
It's a certain type of attitude that doesn't exist. That doesn't exist. That's what you said today. You can't call Zionist. You can't call it. If you have negotiations,
Who says we're going to try to lose it? The man seems to matter. Men?
No, still, because
all Abba and I, Zionists will tell you, no, we shouldn't support it like that.
No, that's not what they do.
They would compare like to Europa. The A God shouldn't want the A God. Thank you.
before, that even though he's been over it, the new government is still not betrayed by Hashem.
Does he hold what's going on there?
So what did it say that Hashem orchestrated? In what area did he orchestrate?
Hashem arranged such a sacrifice.
But not quite for just the Medina, just for Medina.
We'll say, but the Medina are people. How could we differentiate between
Medina and people? Yeah, okay.
How do we do that?
Okay.
That's the difference. We're just puppets. We're just puppets. They're place puppets. This is the Yahashua.
That's more you can put as a strong.
Everything.
By the way, did you not talk about Ezra and Prophet? I think even today, yesterday, I was learning something listening. So I think about Ezra, some of that is the passion of Yeshua and Ezra. Which thought was there?
Something you asked was?
No, I don't know if it was today that somehow about the Hashib living in Ezra.
Wow.
I was thinking, that's not such a bad living in Ezra.
Even if I got married, but then I would be destined to be poor.
See, I have no desire. You see, you're a holy person.